We're up to Perek Tesvav. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yud. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yud. Yirmiyahu now goes back to complain about that he's being mistreated. He's abused. Yirmiyahu is abused by his people, especially the people of Anasos. And he says, Oy li, woe to me, what? A little louder? Is it better now? Is that working?
1 second, okay.
Okay, better now? Okay, Yirmiyahu is complaining that he is abused by his people, and he complains about his fate in life. Oily, woe to me, ki yiluditini. Woe to me that, oily imi, woe to my mother, ki yiluditini. Woe to my mother that she has given birth to me. Ish riv, ish modon l'chol aretz. I am a person that is hated. I am a quarrelsome person. I am a man of modon means fighting. L'chol aretz, every single person who comes in contact with me does not have a pleasant end. There's always a quarrel, there is always strife. And yet Yirmiyahu says there's no reason for this. Lo noshisi, I did not borrow money from someone. V'lo noshuvi, and no one borrowed money from me. And yet kulo mikalani, mikal lavni, and everyone still curses me. In other words, he's saying over here that if I was in business, then it would be understandable why I would have so many enemies. You don't get rich by being a nice guy. That's the mitzvah. You always have fights, and there's always what to quarrel about. If you borrow money from someone, then the people who you've borrowed money from hate you because they want their money back. Or they want ribis, they want interest, they want to see some return on their investment. And more often than not, you're not able to satisfy their desire for a good return on their investment by lending you money. If I would lend money to someone else, then all certainly the people that I lend money to would hate me because they have to pay me back. And if someone is hounding you for a payment, for a debt, certainly they're going to come to hate you. So Yirmiyahu is complaining, I am a person whom I have no business dealings with the populace, and yet I am hated. Everyone that comes in contact with me, there's only one result, there's a riv and a madon, and they all come to curse me. And why? Obviously because Yirmiyahu was the Navi, and he was telling them Musar, he was giving them rebuke not to do Averos, and that's the reason why they hated him with such an intensity. Okay, let's see over here what it says in the Mitzudo Stav, Pasik Yud, Oily Woe to me, Yirmiyahu was complaining, and he directed his complaint towards his mother. The Amar, and he said, Oily, woe to me, imu oily imi asher yiladatani, woe to my mother, gave birth to me, liyos ish riv umadon l'chulam. My mother gave birth to a person who is a source of strife and the quarrel for the entire population. Ki yirivu imadi al shani mechicham, everyone has it out for me. I'm a targeted man because I give the people musar. And yet, lo na shisi, I did not borrow money from anyone. Lipa'amim erivim im ha-malveh, sometimes you quarrel with the malveh. Okay, na shisi means I did not lend. Lo na shisi means I did not lend. Therefore, many times the people who borrow money, they complain against the lender. I will be the lender.
You resent the creditor.
Lipa'am erivim ha-malveh, al shehu no geish. Kesef ha-halva, because he's coming to collect, he comes to demand, to press. Nogesh means to press. I want my money back. And sometimes, if I would have borrowed money, then the lender would hate me because al she'enei meshalim ha-halva, because I have not yet repaid the debt. Avlani lo hilvisi lohem v'hem lo lovuli. I did not lend them money, and therefore they have no reason to hate me for that. I did not borrow from them money, and therefore they have no reason to have any demands on me why I don't pay them back. The im kol zos kula mekalalim umavazim osi, yet everyone hates me. Rashi, Pasuk Yud, Rashi says, Oili imi yirmi hoya misonin al atzma shahoyu sonim oso. He's complaining about himself that he's hated. Bnei Ira, by his people, al divrei toichoichoisav, due to his rebuke. The ish madoin, ish miriva. The word madon means strife. I am a person of strife. Kimo lo yadon ruchi, Hashem says, my spirit no longer. There also, it means I will no longer fight. Will no longer contend with mankind. Hashem will no longer. Okay, whatever it means there, you have to.
Find it in other places, Mishlei and other places.
It means strife.
To quarrel.
I'll no longer quarrel with man. Lo yinoshisi, lo si, lo si, lo kinoshe. Do not be a creditor. So here it means I did not lend them money. I'm not a creditor. I'm not coming to hound them for payment. And yet, kulo, all of them, bekaliloni, they all curse me. Any ravi mahem aliske mamon sheyeshli alehem lo lehem olai. It's not about money. And yet, vahare kol am bekalilani. Yet everyone curses me. This is my lot in life. Mardak pasig yud oili imi ish riv veish madoin ki kulam rivim imi umadon kumar riv. Everyone is fighting with me. And yet, there's no reason for it. Lo nashisi. I'm not a lender. I'm not a borrower. I did not borrow money. In other words, they do not have a claim against me. They do not have a claim to press me for payment. Lo nashisi vohem. I do not have a complaint. I do not press against them. Sheye toiveya halvasi mehem, that I should come and bother them and demand payment, and that would be reason why vikaliluni, they would curse me bavurzeh. Vigam hem lo nashubi. Likewise, they do not have a debt. They don't have any power over me. They don't come to press me. Sheyu toivim halva asam imani to demand payment from a loan from me. Velo eretzel lost Islam, but and in a situation where I do not want to repay them, uvavur zeh yikalalum, they would curse me. Ein shum davar mikol zeh shesaynim osim ibnei shanim machiach oisam l'toivasam. We don't have any of this. There's no reason for this that they should hate me, because ein shum davar mikol zeh. Why then do they hate them? The only reason why they hate me is because I rebuke them in order that they should do tshuva. Kula mikal lavni, they all curse me. Mikal lavni. Hurkava hamila mishnei shiroshim. This is an unusual word. It's a composite of two words. Min kol kilel, the umin kalo. Kihem shnei inyanim. Haklala hi hepech habracha. The first word is klala, a curse. V'akolayin, the second word is shame. V'akolayin hu hepech hakavod. V'chein amar hanavi. Kulo mikalalani umaklani. Every single citizen in society curses me and despises me. And we take those two words, and we take those two words and we combine them together into one word, mikal lavni, which puts these two together. V'horkavu shnehem kiyachad. V'amar b'mila achas shnei inyanim l'katsa aloshen u'letzachoytzei, to combine, to shorten the form and to have a line expression. V'hamoyre hei kal bivav kiminig haha chalafa b'mukaymo. And we exchange the hey. We exchange the hay in the kale, which means kal, bivav, with a minug. So he's saying over here, he's asking the question, if it's kalel, where did the vav come into this pasuk? The vav does not belong there. So the answer over here is, that's what we do. That's common, that a hay turns into a vav. And that is why there is a vav in this pasuk.
According to the theory that it's a compound word,
yeah.
Kalon has a vav. So.
No, he's saying it does not have a vav. That's not the shoresh. Kalei. Kuf lamed hey. Kuf lamed hey. So the vav at the end of the word is in place of the hey that should be from the word kalei. And the lamids, the extra lamid, shame. Kalei. So the two lamids, one lamid is for the word kolol, and one lamid is for the word kalei, and the hey that really belongs at the end is exchanged for a vav, and that is how we created a new word that is not to be seen anywhere else in Tanakh.
Because it would have to have four lamets.
Why four lamets? Kolol, Kaleh, three lamets. Okay, we're merging them together. We're creating a composite. So two words coming together. Kolol, Kaleh, and the Vav of the Kaleh turns into a Vav. The Hey of the Vav, Kaleh, turns into a Vav. And the Nun Yud is part of the expression, is the form. V'lule shechlifua v'koro lamed ha'poel b'kriya lo hoye nika b'mila inin Kaleh. If it would not change the Hey into a Vav, it would not be noticeable that we are trying to add into this word a connotation of a cologne, of shame. So it's a complex grammar lesson for us. Yes, of course, yes. Mikal Lavni. Mikal Lavni. Okay, the Vav is pronounced, and the Vav is part of it, so it's a unique... It's a Shvanach. It's a Shvanach. Because Mikal, the first Lamed is a Shvanach, Mikal, and now we start a Tnug, we start all over again. Lavni. Mikal, Lavni. One word, it's Milara, the Lamed, it's not only Milara. What?
Mikal, yeah. Lavni.
I have here my edition, Mikal Lavni.
Right. The Shai says that there here we, some editions have the Kamats, right. Some have the Kamata. You have the Kamata, we have the Kamats.
Under where? Under the Lamed?
But it has a Mekah.
Ah, Lavni. Okay, so it doesn't make a difference. Okay.
It's, there are different editions.
It doesn't make a difference.
Lavni. Lavni.
Oh, so he's saying that it should be, he's saying that the Vav should be a Shvana. Okay, you're right, it's a Shvana, because if it comes after a Kam, it's for sure it's a Shvana, and if it comes after a Patach, where there's a Neseg, it also would be a Shvana. So the correct way to say it, according to my edition, it would be Mikal Lavini. Mm-hmm. The Vav is a Shvana. According to your edition, it says Mikal Lavini. Any shva that comes after a Komatz is a given, it is a Shvana. Not a Shvanach. Patach. That's what I have in mind.
He says in the Mitzvah Shai that the Mesoris is a Patach.
Patach.
Yeah. He said some places have a
Komatz. Okay, just putting it out. When you have a Patach followed by a Shva, it's not so simple if the Shva should be a Shvanach or should be a Shvanach. More often than not, it's a Tnua Kitana and it's a Shvanach. But if the Patach has a message like it does over here, la, that's like almost like a hey idea, then I think it's machlokes between the Vilna Goin and Rav Zalman Hena if you have a shva na or shva noch. For example, vayihi, or is it vayihi? The first word of the Megillah. You listen to the Megillah laning. What do you say, vayihi or vayihi?
I say it comes out
by Ehi,
but I...
Okay, so if you look in the Art Scroll Siddur, okay, all of this, if you really want to learn all of this, the best place to see all this, I'm telling you word for word from Rabbi Reisman's book, Pathway to the Prophets. Pathway to the Prophets, in the back of the book is divided into two sections. The first section is Musar and Hashkafa and stories, and the second half of the book are Yediyos. Very important pieces of information. And he has a fascinating section on Diktuk, where he lays out all of the Yesoidais in the clearest words.
I always assume that the reason I say Vayihi is because the next word is Mura, as opposed to Vayihir or Vayihivoka, because Arab...
It's the same thing.
Arab, you have to stress the Vav, because Arab is Milel.
So, the Sogachar. Okay, but that I don't believe there's any. A lot of the new Siddurim today indicate if a shva is a shvana or a shvanach. A shvana means that you read the shva as if it was the beginning of the word. So it would be like it would be like in this word over here. It would be la vini. That's called shvanach. If it's a shvanach, it will be lav. When the shva is in the middle of the word, where it comes to a rest, lav. In all of
one is Hashem, that
so there it's ha
le Hashem,
because there's a hefsek between the hey and the la.
There it says because the fact that it's at the end of a sentence
doesn't make a difference. Here the only difference is that there's a nesek underneath the lamed. When there's a nesek underneath a patach, that means that it's a tenua gedoyla. It's an intense expression. And every time your shva follows a tenua gedoyla, the shva is a shva no. A komatz, by definition, is a tenua gedoyla. There's a coming called a komatz katan, but those are very rare. All right, let's go further. Let's not get into this. Let's go. One day we'll spend some time, we'll try to figure out the rules. Okay, let's go now. So therefore, what do we take out of this pasuk? To conclude, we take out of this pasuk a very interesting concept, is that the root of all evil is money. That's the root of all evil. If it's not about money, there's usually nothing to fight about. That's really very true, 95% of the time. The other 5% of the time, it's about kavod, right? But it's usually about money. It's usually about money. After you have so much money, you don't do it yourself. Then you come to a tkufa where you want kavod. But until you reach that point in life where you're not worried about money, then you're a president. All the biggest politicians are all very, very wealthy. That's definitely true. But until you come to a point where money is not an issue, so then all the fighting is over money. When you're secure. Then you can fight about COVID. So here he's saying, here Yirmi is saying, it's not about money. I have not lent anyone money. I have not borrowed money. There's no reason they should curse me. There's no reason they should harm me. And yet they hate me. And therefore, chaval. I am a miserable person. And the one who really suffers the most when a person fails, this is a yisod which was all over Chazal, is a person's mother. The one that has the most pain is a, so therefore, since I suffer so much in my life, I'm a pauper and I'm still hated. My mother is the one that has the most agmas nefesh, and it's really rachmanis on her that she brought into this world a person like me. Look, we see this in this week's parasha. This week's parasha, you learn about the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol, who is the one that had to distribute the food packages to the people in the Ori Miklat. We always say this over. It was not his wife. It was not his children. It was not his sisters and brothers. It was his mother. What about his wife? Shouldn't she be the one that should be concerned about the welfare of her husband? Yeah, I like you, my husband, but not that much. A mother has an entirely different relationship with her child. She feels the child's pain. She feels responsible. And therefore, she was the one who would distribute food packages. It's a very fascinating insight into human psychology. Yeah. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back.
Just back for a week. For a couple of days.
Okay, good to see you, even for a couple of days. Okay, so here as well, Yirmiyah is not complaining. Notice he's not complaining about his wife. He's not complaining about his children. He's saying the one that has the tzad, that when they go online and they see the things that they write about me, is my mother. She's the one that has the pain of this incredible disgrace that I suffer, and I get nothing. At least if I had some money in the bank, at least that would be a chatzi nechama. I don't even have that. And the second yisod we learned in this pasuk is this very unusual word, mikal lavini, which is a composite of two words, kilel and kalo. Kilel is to curse, kalo means to degrade, to despise, to demean, and here we're putting the two together. Now we come to pasuk yav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Yirmi, and Hashem says to Yirmi, do not worry. There is reward for your efforts. And the reward is that when the Churban will come, you will not suffer. Better you suffer now than suffer in the future when the Nebuchadnezzar arrives and takes everyone into Golus. We're going to see that. I'm going to make sure that Nebuchadnezzar grants you immunity to every type of harm that will come to the people, the exiles. Amar Hashem, Hashem says, Imlo. Imlo is a very unusual expression. It means a shun oath. I swear to you, Yirmiyah, that your suffering is not for nothing. I swear to you, Sheirisicha Litov. You will be a remnant for good. all of your fellow citizens, they will be lara. They will either die, they will starve, they will be tortured, humiliated when they're taken down to Babel. But you'll be a survivor that will have a pass, a gold pass, and no one's going to harm you. In lo, another, I make a second shavua, I swear, again it's an expression of a shavua, hifgativach, I swear that it, now you have, over here when it's a shavua that it's not going to happen. I swear, the first shavua is a shavua what will happen. Imlo, I swear, if we go back, imlo, I swear, shevi sicho litov. Imlo means I swear that it will not happen, that hifgativach, I swear that it will not happen that they will touch you at a time of evil. The word hifgati v'cha goes back on the second half of the pasuk as well. They will not touch you at a time of evil when the enemy arrives. Now the reason why we're going to say the shvuah is different in the first shvuah is I swear what will happen, and the second shvuah is I swear what will not happen, is because the second shvuah there's a vav in the middle. Loy mitanah, loy mitavav. You see, the first lo, im lo, there is no vav in between the lamed and the aleph. It's just a cholam. The second lo is a lo mole. So the expression by itself, im lo, is a unique expression which means a shvua. But sometimes you make a shvua, something will happen, and sometimes you make a shvua, something that will not happen. So here, when you have a lo with the vav, it's trying to indicate that I'm making a shvua what's not going to happen.
Well, it's contradictory. The first and second, if you say that they both won't happen or will happen, then the first...
It's a contradiction. Right, but how could you use the same expression both ways? Mm-hmm. So there's an illusion that it's not exactly even the same expression, because the first expression does not have a vav, the second expression does have a vav, which connotes the first expression is a shvua what will happen, and the second shvua is a shvua what will not happen. The first shvua is I swear that you will remain, for you'll be left over as a survivor for good, and I also swear to you that no harm will come upon you when the enemy will, and that they will not touch you. Hifgati v'cha, to touch you, be'esra'ah, no one will touch you at the time when evil comes to the nation, and no one will touch you when a tzara comes to the nation by es'ha'ayeh, that has been brought upon the nation by the enemy. It's a very complex pasuk. There's a lot going on here. Let's go slow and see the mitzvah started. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Amar Hashem, Amar Hanavi. The Navi says, Hashem Amar Li. Now, Hashem is speaking, but the way the Mitzvah is presenting is that Yirmiyah is telling the people what Hashem told him. I'm telling you what Hashem told me. Omar Hanavi, Hashem Amar Li, Mo Ato Choshesh Al Kilalosam, do not be concerned about their curse. Hareini Nishba, I swear, in lo, Ashir Oischol Litov, I swear that I will. In lo just means I will. I make a shvua that I will leave you over for good. Kol Hamekhalim Oischol Yomusu, the Yelchushavi, all of those who curse you will go into will die or go into exile. The Ata, you, something positive will happen. I swear that this will happen. Tishoer Litova. In lo, another oath Hashem makes. Hareini Nishba, im lo, I swear, be'es bo hora'ah v'hatzara, at the time when evil and pain come to the nation, or ir oz, I will arouse, I will inspire at that moment eslev ho'oyev, the enemy. Who is the enemy that we're referring to specifically? Who? Nebuzaradan, because Nebuchadnezzar himself, you know, he never came. Nebuchadnezzar was a scaredy cat. Nebuchadnezzar refused to come near the walls of Yerushalayim because he, according to one Chazal, was actually in the army of Sanherib 200 plus years ago. How could he live so long? Beats me. But he was there in the army, and he saw the miracle how 80,000 or 800,000 different numbers of soldiers were killed, died suddenly in the middle of the night on the night of Pesach. And he was from the few survivors, the survivors that you count on your fingers. So he was terrorized. He suffered from post-traumatic syndrome. post-traumatic syndrome, and therefore he cannot deal with coming near Yerushalayim. So when he went to destroy, he stayed away. He set up shop far away, and he sent the Vuzardon to do his dirty work. Others say he was not mamish, one of the soldiers, but instead he was a descendant. He was a child. He was a survivor of someone, and therefore the horrors of his father or grandfather of what happened haunted him, and he did not want to try his luck and come to Yerushalayim, so he sent the Buzardan. So who, what?
Leading from behind.
He was a coward. Hu nivuzar adon lehafgia boch. I'm going to inspire him. To come in contact with you. So see, over here, it could be what I told you is not what Mitzudos is saying. What Mitzudos is saying is, in law, I make a shvua that hifgati v'cha, I told you, means they're not going to touch you. They're not going to harm you. Okay, is that how the article translates this? I will make your enemy in no. He's translating like the Mitzudos, that they will entreat you, they will visit you and deal with you in a respectful way. They'll be hifkati, means like to pray to you. They will beg you, Yirmiya, you're a tzaddik, we're not going to harm you, we're not going to touch you, there's no house arrest, and Adarabba, maybe you can do us a favor, we'll pay you, we'll put you on the payroll, you can come with us down to Bavel in order to give guidance to your people that are lost. They will seek your welfare, that you should come with the exiles to Bavel. They will not touch you and take you by force, like it says later on in Perek Mem, the end of the Sefer. Nevuzard and said to Yirmiya, if it's good in your eyes, please come with me to Bavel. I will make sure that no one touches you, no one will harm you. So therefore, according to the parish of the Mitzudos David, both of the Imlo really are positive oaths. Hashem says, I make an oath to you that Sheri Sicho Litoiv, you will be spared for good. You will live, not like everyone else who will die or be taken in captive by force. I also, Imlo, I swear to you that your enemy, Nevuzardan Hifkati Vicha, he will treat you respectfully and will come and visit you and ask you in nice, soft language, please come with us and help us give guidance to the people that were taken into exile. He did not. He started, he just directed them a little bit on the way in order to get them going, and then he went back to Yerushalayim to be with the survivors of Yerushalayim. And then the big mystery is what happened afterwards. After the assassination of Gedalia ben Achikam, so the remnants, he told them that you should go nowhere, stay here. Don't go anywhere. Just stay here in Yerushalayim, you'll be okay. They did not listen to him, and they went to run away to Egypt. Those people who went to Egypt did not have a good fate. It's not clear what did Yirmiya do at that time. Did he also go with them to Egypt to be with them? Or did he remain in Yerushalayim and go to Bavel? This, I believe, is Machlokes in the Midrashim. Maybe we'll come across at a later point in time. Perikmen, we'll come across those details in Yirtz Hashem. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph. Sheri Sicha. I have left you over. This means Hishar Ticha L'shoin She'eris. You are a remnant. V'chein Pishro Menachem. Avoldunash Pasaroso Loshon Hatara. It means Hasra. I mean, Loshon Hasra means to warn. I. What? Hatara. Hatara.
To release.
To release. Sheri Sicha Kemo Umishare Kitrin. To release knots, to undo knots, like to untie something. So it means that I'm going to release you, Latoiv. In other words, all of your, everyone else is not going to be released. They're going to be osur. They're going to be bound up. They're going to be taken captive. Like a prisoner is called an osur. But you, Yirmiya, will be released from this bondage, from this captivity. Upishron sheri sich keinhu sh'omar hine pitachticha hayo minhu azikim. I have opened you up from your chains. Kloimar biyoy masha hikim Hashem is devor neema below the atoa now hine pitachticha hayom min huazikim ashal al yodecha in toybe necha lavoiti bovel, like it says later in Perek Mem, is that I'm releasing you from the chains. When the Vuzardin came and said, release him, do not put Yirmiyah in chains, do not give him a pass, let him do whatever he wants. The Gam Yisrael Bikshu Vimenu Sheispal B'Shvilam, and likewise the Jewish people, they requested he pray for on their behalf. Kasher Nemaloi Hispalel Ba'adenu El Hashem Elokeinu Ki Nish'arnu Me'atne Harbe, we have been reduced to a small number from many, period. Imlo, the expression Imlo throughout Tanakh always means Lashon Shavua. It's a placeholder for an oath. Hashem is swearing. Hefgati bach beisra'a, esra'oyev, kishatavoy aleihem ora'a, yifgu'u bach, Rashi learning like the Mitzugos, they will come and entreat you. Shetevakesh rachmim aleihem, they will come, esra'oyev, kishatavoy aleihem ora'a, yifgu'u bach, so it means, it's not like, I'm sorry, not like the Mitzugos. It means that the Jewish people will entreat you, Yirmiyah, to serve as a shliach tzibur to be mispalo. Let's review. According to the Mitzudos, who is going to be the one that's going to be pogea? It's the enemy. They're going to be pogea to mean, what does it mean? To treat you with respect. And what does it mean according to Rashi? It means that the survivors, they're going to treat you with respect and they will ask you to daven, to pray to Hashem on their behalf. This is what's going to happen. In other words, Hashem is telling Yirmiyah, right now Yirmiyah, they may hate you, they may curse you, and they may despise you, and they may want to assassinate you, but realize good days are coming. Days are coming for you when they're going to have respect for you, and they're going to honor you, and they're going to ask you to do for them services. Where do we find an example? Tzidkiyah said to Yirmiyah, Droshna ba'adenu es Hashem, seek out on our behalf Hashem, devaracher. Now he goes back to the Rashi's second interpretation is identical to the parish of the Mitzudo Stavit. Nevuzardon, he is the one that's going to Yivakesh Mitcho, he is the one that's going to entreat you and speak to you respectfully and beg you to come down with the exiles to give them guidance. The last thing the enemy needs is to have prisoners that are disruptive. Like unfortunately, Rachman al-Sultan, that's what the Nazis did. The Nazis also appointed people, the Kapos. And now they had other evil intentions over here, but whatever. But the point was, you take one of your own in order, they take one of the prisoners in order to assist them. Are you right? It's not a good comparison.
More like a chaplain.
Okay, right. More like a chaplain. Because the last thing the enemy needs is they need to have disruptive people. If you have people who are in a good frame of mind, they have a leader, they're okay. So that's what they want us to do. Nevuzad yivakash mitcha im toy beinecha lovo yiti bavel, to come with us to bavel. Okay, so we learned so far two perushim of what it means hifgati vach. Now let's see what Radak says. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Amar Hashem, Hashem Amal Yakel. Hashem said to me, Kesha Yisi Mitzrayim Aleihem, She Soifi Yiel L'Toyv. Hashem, when I was complaining to Hashem, Hashem said to me, Yirmiyah, stop complaining already. Things are going to change. Imloi, Ke'ein Shvua, again, this concept, Imloi means an oath. Kamo Imloi, Shivisi V'Demamti, David HaMelech says, I swear that I have hope in you, Hashem, and I am silent. I have silent hope that you will come to my assistance. I swear what I thought would happen, happened. Two different psukim in Tehillim, Yeshaya, Tehillim, where we see the word Imlo means an oath. Next, Shei Risicha, Kemo Shei Risicha, it means remnant. V'chirik HaTov, we put a chirik, a little dot, underneath the Tov, Sicha. B'mokom Segol, instead of having a sheiri secha, I guess the more correct way would be to say sheiri secha with a segel, but here in this form it's used with a chirik. V'chein tirgame, v'chein tov usefutso sichen. We have the tav of the word this pasuk. I will disperse you. Chirik hatav b'makom segel v'aleph shor nel. I'm sorry, segel v'a. The Aleph She'er Nela Mehakosuv. Okay, the word She'er, he's just pointing out over here that it's a Kuvich Siv, that we're missing the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph, the Aleph She'er, the aleph of the word she'er is ne'lam me'hakosuf, is missing from the text. It's a krivich siv. V'chein gam kol she'eris Yisrael yapasik divrei hayam. Also, the aleph is missing. Kamo she'eris u'she'eris sicha in yonoi acharisacha. I think here we have a new interpretation. It means your end. Kloimar mashe yishael lecha me'azman bebora osam. What will be to you at the time when the evil comes? What will remain to you? What will be your end? The end will be yihel l'toiv. So I believe so far we have really three interpretations of the word she'ri sicha. Either it means you'll be a leftover, a survivor, or it means the second interpretation, it meant Rashi means that you will be released from captivity, and the third interpretation is your end will be for good. Now the beginning is harmful, it's difficult, it's painful, but do not worry, good days, happy days are coming for you in the future. Next, now, what is this possibly according to the Mitzudos? A very long, So he's going with the parish of the Mitzudos, the second parish of Rashi, that the Guzard is going to go and entreat you and beg of you, im l'sheves, im l'leches, do whatever you want. If you want to come with us, come with us. If you don't want to come with us, stay here with the remnants. K'mo shekasav, hifkati, bepoil, like it says, bifkati, bepoil, yotzei, k'loimar, asimenu, I will create a situation, sheyifka b'cha, where the enemy will entreat you, vivakesh, mimicha, Pegia will meet you, and then I'll ask you. Pegia mika, it means okay. It's same idea to meet you. He will meet you. Vivakeish v'mukhash et haseh ezadavah shetirtz, and he will ask you to do whatever you want to do. V'yesh lefarish hifgat in pegia sacheref. Okay, so now is the other interpretation. Is pegia is a negative. Okay, this was I told you when I first translated the pasuk. I told you that we're going to break the pasuk into two parts. The first part is positive. The second part is negative. And here is the negative interpretation. Tegiyah sacher means death. That the time when the sword is going to touch the people and people are going to die. The pasuk choluk. We have to break the pasuk into two parts. There is a positive shavua and there is a negative shavua. Imlo she'ri sicha. Yoimar kineged hanavi, period. Im loy hifkati v'cho yoimar kineged Yisrael. I swear, now, it's not exactly what I told you either, but he's saying over here is, I swear that I'm going to cause harm v'cho to you. Doesn't mean you personally, it means your people, who you represent. Ki gam l'perish arishon yoimar chelcha v'yitzroisecha kineged Yisrael. Even according to the first interpretation, when you say that's another pasuk coming up later on, that's pasuk Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, two pasukim coming up, two pasukim ahead. So when it says you, it doesn't always mean you per se. It means who you represent, Kineged Yisrael. Okay, so according to that interpretation, so what it means in the year is when it says in the pasuk, "Imlo, I swear hifgati v'cha, I'm going to punish Klal Yisrael at a time of evil when the tzara comes and the tzara brings the enemy to their front door." So then we're breaking up the pasuk. Hashem is being a double shvua. You, Yirmiyahu, will survive, but the people will not survive. Then he goes on to say, "V'yesh mefarshim she'ri sicha, hit risicha." This is what Rashi said. I'm going to release you, min umishares kitrin, to undo the knots, to loosen a knot. I'm going to loosen you. Kamoshi omalo nevuzardon. Nevuzardon told the soldiers, "Release him! How dare you put Yirmiyah Hanavi into shackles?" Hine. I have released you from the chains that were put on your arms, on your hands. Sherisich kasud. Now he just goes into some grammar. The word sherisich is written with a vav. It's a krivich siv. The vav is not pronounced. And the kari biyud, and we read as if there is a yod v'in echad v'yosios aleph hey vav yod mischalfois ahui. Those letters are always interchanged. That's a grammatical point. So no one said the interpretation that I told you. I must have seen that somewhere because it sticks in my mind. And again, according to that interpretation, there's two types of shuas. There's a shvua, a positive shvua, and a negative shvua. And that's why the positive shvua does not have a vav, and the negative shvua does have a vav. Hashem says, I'm going to leave you over for good, and I swear to you that no one's going to touch you when the evil and the tzara comes through the hands of the enemy. So sach hakol, we have, with regard to the word, the second half of the pasuk, I think three or four interpretations, either that I swear that Nevuzardan will treat you with respect. I swear to you that Klal Yisrael will come and treat you with respect and ask that you daven on their behalf. Or this is a shvua that Klal Yisrael will be touched by the sword, will be harmed. Or it is a shvua that you will not be affected by the enemy. Okay, it's a difficult pasuk. Now we go to pasuk Yibes. Another difficult pasuk. Hayaroya Barzel. Barzel mitzafan unuchayshes. Can barzel be damaged by barzel that comes from the north and by copper? Now, what does that mean exactly? So I'm not even going to attempt to translate because it's too complicated for me. So let's just see what the Mefarshim say. Pasuk Yibes. Pasuk Yibes in the Mitzvah Stavit, Hayaroa. First of all, what is the translation of the word Yaroa mean? Shavira. Can it be broken? Don't put confidence in your strength. Do not think that you're going to be able to fight and overcome the enemy. Your barzel will not be able to weaken the barzel that's coming from the north, from the Nevuchadnezzar mitzafon tiposachara'ah, and certainly you're not going to be able to overcome copper, because copper is stronger than barzel. Is that true?
No.
But what it means, I think, is, let's see, is that copper, that the barzel that you mix into barzel copper, mix makes it stronger. Barzel is strong, but when you mix into barzel copper, somehow, some way, makes it bend.
Which means it wouldn't break.
Barzel is flexible. Okay, so it means it's even stronger. Let's see the mitzvos. Hayirav chiefshar shabarzel mehacharava shalucha yishaver barzel hacharava shaba mitzafain. Shabarzel chazak meod. Barzel is barzel. V'nichshah me'uriv bo. And if when you have barzel that's mixed with nechayshes, hamuchzak od yosef. So he explicitly says that when you have barzel mixed with copper, it's even stronger. So therefore, that's what?
Like steel.
So it's even stronger. So therefore, Nevuchadnezzar, they come from the north, they just don't have copper. They have barzel with copper. And therefore, they're going to overpower you who only has barzel. We had this before. Those who are gossip mongers with nechoshes ubarzel, which is interpreting Ritzel Omar, which they were interpreting to mean they have a mixture, an alloy of nechoshes with barzel, which is extremely strong. Now, Ritzel, so what is the meaning of the pasuk? What's the message of the pasuk in its entirety? V'chisach shoyv sha'ata tiskaber b'mulchama mul Nevuchadnezzar. Haloi me'oid yechzak me'mucha. Nevuchadnezzar is much stronger than you, so therefore there's no chance. People, like, don't fool yourself in thinking, koichi v'oid simyod v'osel yesachayel hazeh, you're going to survive the attack. Hayaroa barzel, will barzel be weakened? Will your barzel will the barzel of the enemy be weakened, especially when it's the barzel mitzafon unechoshes that is also mixed with copper? That's similarly what it says. Do you think their barzel is going to be weakened by your barzel? Certainly not. Their barzel of the north has copper mixed inside, which is even stronger. Let's see what it says in Rashi, Pasuk Yudbeis.
Is it really talking about military prowess? I think here he's saying that Nebuchadnezzar is a tougher...
is more powerful.
question.
Are you saying you don't? You don't want to say it's military strength. His drive, his conviction,
ruthlessness.
His ruthlessness, that's called barzel, the chutzpah. Maybe, okay. Pashpashpashah, I think he's referring over here to the actual metal. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, you pass a good base. Hayero barzel, barzel mitzafan. Oimer ani. Rashi here begins with a very unusual expression. Whenever, how often do you have in Rashi throughout Tanakh such an expression? Oimer ani. I say. It's very rare. Rashi, Rubud Ruba, yesterday or May was Rashi's yahrzeit. So Chusu Yogin Alein, Rabban shall call Yisrael. So Rashi, Rubud Ruba, is there to preserve the Messiah, to bring down what he's taught from his Rebbeim. Rashi very rarely says his own Chidushim. And here is one exception, notable exception. Oimer Ani, Barzel Haba Mitzafan Kosha Mishar Barzel. Rashi says that it's the reality of the world. Go study this. The sciences that the barzel that comes from the north is stronger than barzel. The chain pisro, you know, and therefore this is the way we explain Mishnah in the pasuk. Heim nimshu lebarzel hoichel rochel nuchesh to barzel. That they are compared. The Babylonians are compared to barzel, as it says in the pasuk in Parak Vav. Holchei rochel nuchesh to barzel. Uvi yirmiyah nemar nisaticha. And Yirmiyah said, I have made you ula amud barzel ulchoimas nechoishes, and I have made you klal yishol also to barzel and a wall of copper, v'sheloi chazak mishelohem. So he's taking two psukim, a pasuk in Perek Vav and a pasuk in Perek Aleph, and he's saying, Hashem says that Yirmiyah, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to give Musar to Klal Yisrael, because I'm going to make you strong. You'll be able to withstand all of the abuse that comes your way. V'shaloi chazak mishalohem, ki nevuchanetzar mitzafon yavoi, kidvarov alehem. I take it back. I think when it says that the Klal Yisrael is called Barzel. I think what he means, Sanagza, I'm not sure, but I think what he means to say is that over here that Yirmiyah, Klal Yisrael is called Barzel, and Nevuchadnezzar is called Barzel, and he's darshing two psukim, which these two psukim, it's not the pashup shot, and not necessarily the simple interpretation of what Rashi says, but nevertheless he says that one pasuk alludes to the fact that Nevuchadnezzar is called Barzel, and the other pasuk alludes to the fact that Klal Yisrael is Barzel, so it's a fight of Barzel against Barzel, but you're still going to lose because their Barzel is stronger, because the Metzias is that Barzel that comes from the north is stronger. Then he goes on to just translate the words Hayeroa, and the word Hayeroa means to shatter. Hayirtzois, will it shatter Barzel Shelohem Eshelocha? Will their barzel shatter yours? Dover acher, hayarotz, paro hababi ezraschem shukosha kebarzel. Paro, who was your support, paro was your ally, who promised to come to your rescue. Hababi ezraschem shukosha kebarzel. Es nevuchanetzar. Do you think paro is going to be able to shatter nevuchanetzar shubarzel hababi tzafon v'u'n'choshes? The Targum Yonis Anoitel Tzadzem appears more like the second interpretation of Paro. So basically, if we go back and read the pasuk according to Rashi, what it's saying over here is Hayaroa Barzel, will your Barzel shatter Barzel Mitzafonu Nechoshes? Certainly not. You are called Barzel, and Nevuchadnezzar is called Barzel. Do you think that your Barzel will succeed in shattering the Barzel that comes from Tzofain, and then Tzofain, which also will come with Nechoshes? It will not, because their Barzel is stronger. The fact is, it has Nechoshes mixed in. According to Rashi's interpretation, is even if you all of your plans go, everything goes according to plan, and Paro Necho comes to your rescue, and he comes out to fight your battles, guess what? Paro Necho is also going to fall in battle, because he is also weaker than Nevuchadnezzar. Well, the Barzel, Mr. Axel, I have your Navi. Okay, I have your Navi. I'm sorry, okay? Will the Barzel Hayero Barzel will the Barzel of Paro Necho will be able to overcome the Barzel of Nebuchadnezzar? Certainly not. The Barzel of Nebuchadnezzar is strong near Baskel. Let's see Radak. Radak Pasik Yud Beis Hayeroa Min Tiroim Bashevet Barzel. It means to break, to shatter with a rod of iron. Inyan Shever. Omar, what is the statement? Hayishbar Barzel Barzel. Im Barzel Echad Yachtech Barzel Al Acher. Im a Barzel Humu Urov Im Anachesha. Certainly it's not going to happen if the second Barzel is more stronger, being that it's mixed with Nechoshes. Vu a Barzel Hachosak Shekarin Belaz. It's called Belaz. What is that word? Atsir. Okay, whatever that is. Barzel that's mixed with Nechoshes is called Atsir. Do you really, are you so foolish to think you'll be able to overcome the stim for Nebuchadnezzar? If you think that you are strong, you are powerful, guess what? You're no match for Nebuchadnezzar because he is a stronger from Barzal that has mixed into his Barzal Nechoshes. So this is very common, although we had in the Sefer, and Bavel is referred to in the north. From the north will begin the evil. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chelcha, here he says that Kashes, he gives the mesh to Klal Yisrael. Chelcha vi oitzrei secho levaz etain, that your wealth and your treasures will be given over as spoils to the enemy. Loi v'mechir, it will not be paid for. They will take it for free. Uvechol chatoi secho, uvechol givulecha. It's because of all of your sin. The reason why this is going to happen is because of your sins that are taking place in all of your boundaries. What's the word? Pasuk Gedalid. Ve'avarti yaseivecha be'aretz lo yodata. And I will cause to pass over enemies in the land, into a land, enemies that you never heard of before. I'm going to cause them to, enemies that you never heard of before, you never saw before, they're going to come pass through the land. Why?
Never heard of.
What?
In an unknown land.
Ve'avarti esoivecha be'eretz lo yodoto, that you do not know. Okay, let's see this in a moment. Ki eish kotcha v'yapi aleichem tukad, because of fire that's burning in my nostrils upon you, my people will now burn. Very frightening words. Mitzudos tava, these two psukim together. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lavaz etein. Lo etein l'shalom. I'm going to give the enemy all of your treasures. V'lo tikach ba'adam mechir. They're not going to pay for it. Ritzon Eloimar. Lo yashu oizcha b'yartzcha b'mechir ha'aratzo sheyikach. It's not going to remain in your land for a price that they can buy it. They're not going to pay, they're just going to steal it. This is the reason why you're going to lose all of your treasure, because of your sins. Where did you sin? You sinned throughout the entire land, all of your boundaries. There was no place that was lacking from sin. So it means that you, I'm going to cause you, Klal Yisrael, to go into exile, into a land that you are not familiar with. So not that the enemy will pass through your land, but it means I'm going to cause you to pass. Hashem is saying you're going to go into exile. I'm going to cause you to pass from the land, to go with your enemies. Hashem says my anger is kindled against you. I'm going to pour it upon Klal Yisrael my anger. Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chelcha l'shoin mamon, your wealth, the oitzra secha, your treasures, liyishol hu'omer, referring to the treasure of the Jewish people, chol chatei secha uleman kol chatei secha tiyezos l'cha, the reason why you're going to suffer, you're going to lose all of your assets because of your sins, uvechol gvulecha, which are taking place throughout all of your boundaries, asher hemata elirin b'chulon, you have established idols in all of the land. Radak pasuk Yud Gimel. Chelcha b'loy b'mechir ki kol Kol kach yu boizim rabim, they will plunder your assets. Ki lo yimacher v'lo yutam b'mechir hashalol, it will not be sold, it will not be given for a price. El kolech v'yachol yavoz li'atzmo, will just be stolen. V'chol chavasecho v'avor ma yezeh, v'chol chatasecho v'chol gulacha heim chatasecho ki lo yim b'mokoyim echad levad. This is not an isolated sin. This sin is rampant. El b'chol gulacha heim heim kimois heim 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 b'mois b'mo. Ela b'chol gvulecha heim b'mosayich. I don't know what that word means. Sheheim, okay, b'mos. Heim b'mosayich are your altars. Sheheim chatosecha. V'ze inyin aleichem tukad. This is what it means. Hashem is going to burn a fire. V'nemar achar ze b'parashas chatos, Yehuda. B'milo yishonis b'miksos. And it says this later on. We're going to have some more elaboration upon this later. Okay, pasuk yudalid. V'avarti. B'resh. Okay, not ve'havaditi. The correct mesorah is ve'havariti with the resh perish e'avir oisan. I'm going to cause you to pass, to be transferred eloi ve'cha bi'eret ha'shelo yidata. Es ve'cha kmo el. Es very often is substituted with the word el. I will give you over to your enemies. V'chein ve'hor'o es ha'korein. You shall show the nega El Hakoyin, even though it says in the pasuk as Hakoyin, kumo El Hakoyin. The nearer Yonasan Yikori Havavaditi Bidalit. It appears that Yonasan Ben Uziel had a different misora, and his misora was not a resh, but it was a dalit. And then it means the avadit the avadito esayvecha. Gichein tirgem hisish shabdun levaale divavechon. You will be destroyed by your enemies. Avla nachnu. Now, you will be destroyed by your enemies in the land that you do not know. In other words, you'll be taken to Golis, and there your enemies will destroy you. They'll finish you off. But Avla Nachnu, Koranu, Vehavarti, Bereish, in our Mesoira, it appears the word with the Reish. Vechenimsa, Beswarim, Hamiduyakim, Harishon, Lisma, Chalehem, Haruuyim, Lisma, Chalehem. The authentic and the reliable books tell us that it should be with the Reish, or the Parsha, Schatas Yehuda. The Havaditicha Bidalit. And there's another parasha, another sugya, another there. That's probably why it's getting confused. There's another section which is coming up later on, and there indeed the Mesora is with a Dalit. There the Psukim are very similar, and there it's with a Dalit, but here it's with a Resh, and therefore the translation follows what I said. Kodcha Poal Omet. This is an active verb. Perish Bo'ara. Bara, my fire, my anger, my wrath is kindled against you. All right, we'll stop over here. Pasuk Tes Vav.